Welcome to John Bowers All the Rage. You're about to listen to a series of interviews you'll hear over the next few weeks. This is one of them. John's interviewing Pamela Fitzpatrick, Labour MP for Harrow Headstone South. Pamela also runs the voluntary Harrow Law Centre. It's a free service for its citizens in Harrow. In this interview, we hear stories of immigration issues in which the Harrow Law Centre has assisted families split from the UK. This is a result of the Legal Services Act in 2007, in which encouraged more competition and provide a new route for consumer complaints. As a result of various acts, including the Access to Justice Act in 1999, the provision of legal aid is governed by the Access to Justice Act 1999 and supplementary legislation. Most recently, the Legal Aid Sentencing and Punishment Offenders Act 2012. There are complaint cuts to legal aid have prevented the poorest people getting justice. Disabled people disputing benefit claims are usually denied legal aid, forcing them to deal with complex and distressing cases without help. The numbers disputing when benefits are denied have fallen drastically, and it is feared the most vulnerable are losing out. Take it away, John.
All the Rage with John Bowd. On www.traxfm.org.
Welcome, listeners, to All the Rage. My name's John, and this week's show, we're going to be talking to Pamela Fitzpatrick of the Harrow Law Centre. The Law Centre provides legal aid and benefits to people as they need them, and she's going to tell us all about that in a much more articulate way than me. Right, so hello, Pamela. Please tell me all about your work.
Hello, John. The Law Centre, Harrow Law Centre, is one of about 50 law centres around the country. But Harrow Law Centre is quite a newish law centre. It was set up in 2010, and I helped to set the law centre up. I work here as the director, so my job is to keep it going, to raise money for it, just the face of the law centre, I suppose. But what do we do here? Most people don't know what a law centre is.
No.
A law centre, what we do is we employ solicitors. We have a group of solicitors who provide free legal advice to local people. We also represent people, but in areas of what would be called social welfare law. So this is really around issues like housing, homelessness, welfare benefits, immigration, human rights. So on a day-to-day basis, what does that mean? Well, it means if you're somebody in Harrow who's facing eviction, that you can come to the Law Centre and you'll see an experienced solicitor who works here, who'll be able to advise you and defend you in court. So we regularly do this. And in Harrow, people think of Harrow as a leafy suburb. But in fact, Harrow has the worst level of low pay in London, which probably means the whole of the UK. It has the second highest rate of evictions in London, but it also has a very low level of social housing. So what you've got in Harrow is a constant churn of homelessness. And if you can imagine the impact on families as to what that means. So if you've got a family, you've got a few children at school and they have to keep moving house, they often have to move schools, of what impact this has on the family. So to give you an example, we may have somebody turn up at the doorstep. They're facing an eviction. The landlord's changed the locks even sometimes. They come home, we've had a child of 10 come home to find that they couldn't get in because the landlord had changed the locks. So where do you go? Well, if you come to the Law Centre, you'll see a solicitor who'll be able to advise you that that's unlawful. We'll be able to negotiate with the landlord, and if the landlord doesn't see the error of their ways, we'll be able to go to court to get an order to have you reinstated in your home. And we've done that fairly frequently. In other situations, people may find that they've been threatened with eviction, and this may be because of rent arrears, and we look underneath the problem, so what's caused the rent arrears. And there are massive problems now with our benefit system, which isn't adequate, so that people can find that they very easily fall into rent arrears and then face eviction. So we will help to sort out the wider problem as well as deal with the housing problem. So we also have immigration solicitors who will deal with things like asylum and trafficking. So again, in Harrow, you wouldn't imagine that there is trafficking going on, but we see it fairly frequently. So we see women who've been brought to the UK, forced into prostitution, and that when they become pregnant, that they are taken to have their babies sold, and that's in Harrow. Again, we assist them, our immigration solicitors are able to assist them and get them status in the UK, and find them safety, basically. So another problem that's coming up is that the benefit system has become totally inadequate. Most people think that the benefit system is much better than it is, until they have to claim themselves. So people have probably heard about people being sanctioned while they're on benefit, not quite knowing what that means. Or what it means, and I'll give you an example. We had a case of a woman who had been diagnosed with possibly having cancer, and she'd waited for an appointment at a hospital to have all the relevant tests, but she was receiving a benefit called Employment Support Allowance, and with that benefit you have to regularly go for medicals, government medicals, but the medicals are not undertaken by any health professionals, any qualified health professionals. She found that her appointment for her medical with the government medical services was at the same time as her hospital appointment for her diagnosis, treatment for cancer. So she rang the government medical services and explained, and the answer was basically, the choice is yours, you have to make the choice. So she made the right choice in my view, which was to go to the hospital to have the test for cancer. And for that she was sanctioned, her benefit was taken away. So she was left with no money. So you can be in this country in a very poor state of health and have all of your money taken away, no prospects of anything at all. So what you see in Harrow now are people regularly being left without food, without heating, and facing eviction fairly frequently. So there's lots of agencies you can go to for basic advice, but the problem is, what happens if somebody says, no, I'm not going to do that? The landlord says, well, I don't care that I've changed the locks and I'm going to leave the person outside. Or somebody goes for housing at the local authority and the local authority says, no, we don't believe that you are in priority need, or we don't believe, or we think you're intentionally homeless, so we're not going to house you. So the difference between a law centre and between other generalist agencies is, when somebody says no, law centres don't really stop. They can go the extra mile because they can go to court. Obviously you have to have the basis of a case, but we can go to court and challenge those decisions. And so we use the law for social justice, basically.
I am also joined by broadcaster and general lovely Harrow person, Julie V, who is going to ask most of the questions, because you're better at this than I am.
Honestly.
So can't get the producers these days.
I just wanted to ask you, Pamela, from a practical point of view, so you've obviously explained, you know, why legal aid is important, why legal aid is important, and why the law centre is different from, you know, a generic charity or organisation or whatever. But in practical terms, what sort of, talk me through what happens to those people when they're kind of in that state of limbo. Mm. So, you know, when they've been kicked out by whoever, when they've got no income, when they're kind of, you know, they're in your capable hands, but, you know, obviously there's always a time to wait, isn't there, before things go to court and correspondence goes backwards and forwards.
So, yes, there's kind of different stages at what we deal with. So, for example, we had a case of a woman who was very vulnerable. She owned her property, but she'd had mental health problems and she'd no longer been able to afford her mortgage. So she had lost her home, she was evicted, the bank had taken possession of her home, which they're entitled to do because she hadn't paid her mortgage, and she had applied to the council for housing, but because she was a single woman, they had found that she was not priority need. So she had a problem, she also had a problem with benefits, so she had the range of problems. She was facing being street homeless because she didn't have a home immediately, with no benefits and longer term prospects, she'd lost her home. So we deal with it in stages. There's the immediate, what do we do now? We've got somebody who's got nothing. So we would send a letter before action, which is a kind of legal letter setting out why we think a decision is wrong and giving the opportunity for the decision maker to put it right. So that in that situation it would be to the local authority around a decision not to accommodate. So in many cases the individual hasn't been able to articulate their situation adequately because they're distressed, they're not able to. So if we then point out that this person is in priority need because of their mental health needs or whatever, and then get them accommodated temporarily, so then the tonight is dealt with, whilst we then get on to the longer term issue. So in that case we were able to look at, well, what happened with the bank that foreclosed on the mortgage? Well, she was not legally represented and she had a mental health problem. So we were able to argue that there was, you know, an abusive process, that she should have had advice, and we were able in that situation to get her reinstated in her home, to get her house back. So you deal with the temporary thing and then the longer term. So it's not just, you know, and it may involve sending somebody to the food bank on some occasions, but it's not just the band-aid. We deal with resolving the problem as well. Okay. So it may be that there's a need for benefits immediately. If they're not able to access benefits, we look at what other sources are there, and that may be that, you know, the local authority has to pick up the pieces, and increasingly that's the case, that, you know, is social services, should they be involved if there's children, support under the Children Act. So we will get immediate help in whatever way we can, and then also deal with the longer, to resolve the problem in the longer term.
John Bouts, John the Rage, all the on Tracks FM.
Well, Tracks, you know, I don't have a problem with nobody. This is what I was saying. If anybody got a problem with me, then we could get it popping. And this is what I was,
You got your own opinion of me. I cannot give a fuck what you think.
You bitch wanna get it, you can get it from a skirt. You niggas wanna feel it, fuck what I wish you were.
You think you gon' hit, but you is not getting shish. You think you gon' hit, but you is not getting shish.
You bitch wanna get it, you can get it from a skirt. You know, sick in the feel it, fuck what I wish you were.
You think you gon' hit, but you is not getting shish. You think you gon' hit, but you is not getting shish.
Throw a mug, motherfucker. It's that J Blanco, smooth cat, new jack, Luciano. I've been all around the world, stacking this paper, hard body every city, digging AC Slater. I'm the rock to Gibraltar, been bitch about that. Next thing in the rock when they hear this sound. It's looking to pop like a ratata. And these hoes shooting shit, do the cha cha cha. Made 150k off a free mixtape. Wake up in my bed, then if this shit feel great. Young Jet said black, how you goes like that? Y'all's vendetta can sweater, I'm ahead of the bat. I was robbing niggas for Dolce panties, Renatina, Fatino, and all them Coney Island kings. Them uptown boys cooking, push the work, but in Brownsville, you know they box the sky. You think you wanna get it, you can get it from a skirt. You think you wanna feel it, fuck what I wish you were.
You think you gon' hit, but you is not getting ish. You think you gon' hit, but you is not getting ish.
You know that you wanna get it, you can get it from a skirt. You know that you wanna feel it, fuck what I wish you were.
You think you gon' hit, but you is not getting ish. You think you gon' hit, but you is not getting ish.
I'ma take you to the future, robots and androids. Girls named Droidika, cops on the convoys. I am a tomboy, I am the tank girl. Back to the future, flight through the space world. It's a new year and I came here to conquer. I am the new bitch, I am a problem. Just like the Clone Wars, I got my armor. Throw on my war paint, I am Tatanka. I'm the only bitch in the Bronx rocking Chanel. High top bun, French tip nail. Only nigga new buff that was tipping the scale. Looking fresher than kale, money falling like hail. I do things that these little boys dream of. They still messy with the pampers, need to clean up. I come clean, they call me Noxima. No key on the track, and I'm coming with the beam.
You bitches wanna get it, you can get it from a skirt. You most if you wanna feel it, fuck what I wish you were.
You think you gon' hit, but you is not getting ish. You think you gon' hit, but you is not getting ish.
You bitches wanna get it, you can get it from a skirt. You most if you wanna feel it, fuck what I wish you were.
You think you gon' hit, but you is not getting ish. You think you gon' hit, but you is not getting ish.
Can you explain for the listeners how, because, you know, you said earlier that the Law Centre's 8 years old now and, you know, you helped to set it up. What impact have funding cuts had on the Law Centre?
Funding cuts, it's had a huge impact. I mean, it's on different levels. So if you think about the funding cuts to to local councils, there's less provision of services, for example, so the people have less places to go to. There's cuts to the voluntary sector, so there's less access to advice, perhaps, or other services. But if I talk specifically about cuts to legal aid, for example, in 2013, there was a massive change to the system of legal aid, and the government, the coalition government at the time, took out whole areas of law that would be covered by legal aid. So that included employment law, welfare benefits, and family law. And those are the main areas that impact on people where they have needs. So in times of crisis, if you go through a divorce or a bereavement, you know, you can't access kind of family law. If you have you lose your job, you can't get access to legal advice. And most importantly, you can't get access to welfare benefits legal advice. So what you've found is that there are far fewer private practice solicitors working in the field of legal aid at all, because as well as certain areas being taken out of scope of legal aid, there's also been kind of cuts to just the levels, and that's cutting across to criminal law as well, actually. So the whole range of things, people are just in a more difficult situation because you've got harsher benefit rules, you've got less provision with housing, you've got less support from local authority because of the cuts. The schools are having cuts, so there's pressure there. Hospitals are having cuts, so they're trying to get people out of the beds as quickly as possible, but there's nowhere for homeless people to be discharged to. So you've got people in real crisis with less support from kind of advice agencies and solicitors. I've worked in the voluntary sector for 30 years and I've never seen it as bad as this, because usually there would always be somewhere that people would go for the pieces to be picked up, and that's not the case anymore. So without access to expert legal advice, it's very difficult for people to resolve their problems.
So how, sort of in practical terms for the Law Centre, how have those cuts made a difference for you in terms of how you're funded?
Okay.
Yeah, in terms of staffing as well, you know, have you had to reduce your paid staff?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So how's it impacted on
We've
on
not, and the reason for that is when some law centres have closed down and lots of charities have closed because of funding cuts. But when we set up in 2010, one of the things I was very keen on was that we had diverse funding so that we weren't at risk of having cuts. So you need legal aid, because unless you've got legal aid, you can't go to court to challenge decisions. So we have legal aid contracts, but the legal aid contracts are insufficient to allow you to provide a service. So many other agencies are wholly reliant on the local authority. And that's kind of a double-edged sword, because it's very good to get funding, but then you are less independent. But also, if you lose all your funding, that's it, you can go. So we have multiple funders. So I spend a lot of my time fundraising for the Law Centre. So at any one time, we will have grants from about 10 different funders, as well as legal aid contracts. So in fact, we have bucked the trend and we've grown rather than reduced. And it's quite a good model to have, because we also maintain our independence then. So we can do the work that we want to do. So I don't chase funding just to grow the organisation in any way that there happens to be money. We only apply for money to do what we want to do. And it does seem to have worked, because we started off in a room in Wealdstone operating a very part-time service with only basically two part-time solicitors, and now we have a team of 11, which includes 9 solicitors.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's very good. However, I don't want to give the impression that we have no financial difficulty. We live, you know, hand-to-mouth, on a shoestring. We've got very basic premises. We would want better premises. We have no reception staff, for example. You know, it's a constant battle to raise money. So that is my main job, is doing that, really.
I can just jump in with a question. I was just wondering, you were talking about some of the cases of people you've dealt with, and you mentioned things like mental health issues and things like that. How much crossover do you have? Does the Legal Aid Centre, how much kind of intersection does it have with other areas like mental health provision or within the housing department? I mean, is it good? Is it bad? Could it be improved?
I think we have good crossover with the housing department, the local authority generally. I would say with mental health services it's mixed, so less so from, we do get calls from the hospital, for example, asking us for help when they've got a patient. We also get calls from patients' relatives saying, my elderly father's going to be discharged with nowhere, you know, no support. So I suppose less with the health service, but more so with the local authority. It's inevitable because we're dealing with things like housing all the time. Yeah, I think it probably could be better. I suspect everybody would say that they're stretched and they don't have time.
John Bouts, all the rage, all the on Trax FM. Trax FM. Trax FM.
Guarantee that he won't forget me. My body little, my soul is heavy. My little titties be booking cities all around the world. They be fucking with me. I'm a Calvin Klein model. Come and get me. Set the resi up. Don't be fucking with me. My little titties are so itty bitty. I go locomotive. Chitty chitty. Bang bang. Gold hoops and a name chain. 10 boots are like 4 rings. Missy Elliott can't stand the rain. You lame playing the same games. Little titties and so damn pretty. Staircase in a crack filly. Little titties and a fat kitty. Big pants and some stuffed shoes. Pop a bow, Blue's Clues. With my little titties and my fat belly. 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 My little titties and my fat belly.
That girl is a tomboy. Who that is, ho? That girl is a tomboy. That girl is a tomboy. That girl is a tomboy. Who that? Who that? Who that? Princess Nokia, baby fat. I be where the ladies at. Who know how to shake it fast? We gon' spit that brazy trap. You know that I take it back. I'm spitting the illest man. Yeah, ho. Who that? Who that? Who that? Princess Nokia, make it clap. She with it to set it back and give you the fire track. Y'all watch what gon' happen next. In the court, when I step up in the function, it's a party, of course. I'm having fun with my friends, and I don't want it to end. And if you finna blow my hot, then I'ma punch you again.
With my little titties and my fat belly, my little titties and my fat belly, my little titties and my fat belly. My little titties and my fat belly, my little titties and my fat belly, my little titties and my fat belly. My little titties and my fat belly. My little titties and my fat belly.
He's so in love, he think it's a spell. This love is too magic and he cannot tell. He fuck with my bro, how my pussy is spelled. My thought is special, got locked like a jail. It's Polo, it's Tommy, it's Mecca, it's naughty. I'm finna sit back and just sip up a party. You come to my party, you gon' be my army. A room full of girls and we acting rowdy.
So what would a typical day look like for you then? Typical working day?
Well, a typical day, you come into the Law Centre and you have a plan for what you're going to do that day. And invariably it changes because we will get a call from somebody who will be in distress. There'll be some thing that's happened that we will suddenly have to deal with that. And it can be all hands on board. And it may not be one person like that. We may have several cases like that. So you may find we've had, for example, a young pregnant woman who was street homeless during the snow and with not being accepted as being a priority need as well. So you have to think about, are we starting a judicial review and challenging that? Or we may have somebody who, we had a young boy, you know, refugee, just turn up on the door, and we'll have to start a process for asylum. So usually what happens is I start the day and you'll get some cases coming in, and the injustice makes me so angry, it really does, and the thought that you can't do anything because it's impossible, that nothing's working, everything's breaking down, whose fault is it? It's nobody's fault, everybody's under pressure, everybody's stressed, you know, what can be done? Why are we allowing people to be in this situation in a wealthy country, in a wealthy city, in a wealthy suburb? Why have we got people? Why have we got a family with a baby who's 3 months old, have been sleeping in a car? Why have we got a man who has just been discharged from hospital with cancer treatment, sleeping in a bus? Why have we got a family who've been walking the streets all night, not housed? Why have I got a head teacher ringing me saying, why has this family turned up to school when they've been walking the streets all night? Why have we got somebody who is very ill, being left without benefit, and somebody who's taking sleeping tablets every day because they've got no food and it's to stop them feeling hungry? Why have I got a child ringing me, a 14-year-old, who has to travel an hour and a half every day to school? Why have we got this? I have never seen this, and it makes me really angry. And then you look around the office that everybody's working really hard. How can we possibly take all these new cases because we haven't got the resources? And then we just do. And then we have a success rate, a really high success rate, because we're able to use the law to kind of change things. And we don't stop. And then somehow we get through the letters before action, we talk to the right people, we get the emergency stuff sorted out, and then you end the day feeling a real sense of pride at what you can do. And that's what I feel all the time. Because law centres are charities that are kind of doers. They're not there a lot publicising the work they do, but they just get on and do it, and they really do change people's lives. And there's a quote I give often of a man who had had terrible problems, a whole range of problems, and he said that he walked in here feeling a broken man, and he walked out feeling he had a guardian angel on his shoulder. Because for once you've got somebody who's on your side, but they've got the skills to be able to challenge, you know, the state, the council, the people where it's impossible to challenge.
But also, I was going to say, it's a real sort of testament to the organisation that, as you say, feeling, knowing what you know, and how desperate things are, you're still able to give your, I don't know what's the term, use clients, users, people, whatever, give them hope.
Give you another example of a case which was one of the most moving cases we've had for a while, is a woman who is a refugee, and she had lost her children. They were taken from her, basically. She came to the UK, separated from her children for 17 years, and she was searching for her daughter for a long, long time. She finally identified her daughter as being in a refugee camp in another country. I won't say where because I don't want to give too much detail. She then tried to get her daughter to come to the UK, but she was refused by the Home Office because her daughter, who was now 16, had two children, and the Home Office decided that she was not part of this woman's family, so couldn't be reunited under family reunion. And the reason she had two children is she'd been raped, and she had two children from rape, the 16-year-old. So we have battled for quite some time to challenge that decision and get her daughter and her grandchildren now to the UK. And we just heard about 2 weeks ago we've succeeded. So she's going to be reunited with her daughter and her grandchildren. Yeah. So you can't, you know, that's... we have no money, but we have a lot of success and a real positive kind of feeling that we change lives, and that's so important.
John Bouts, all the rage, all the on Tracks FM.
Now, in order for you to rock this, you gotta go off the skinheads, do the feds, under the wax, over part of the track, and hit nothing but fat.
It's over time, so the lyric they fear it when they hear it. The flow, 100 miles and running and getting near it. And go, check it out, go, beat about it and go. Through the race, give the drama the taste.
I'm not dissing, but I know I ain't ass kissing. Time to draw the line, this time the rhyme got the good guy going getting the nine. Cause I know the hoodie got it good with the hitman. Can I get a hitman? No, I'm ducking that quicksand. The funky automatic, handling static. So now I ain't good at it. And when I got bumped, I'm gonna open up. Getting my stone to the bone, but it ain't gotta be like that. Cause the hood is for all and that's that. Can you tell me y'all? Come on.
Going back to what you were saying before about, I mean, I know this is, doing this interview hopefully will raise awareness and kind of, you know, but how, why aren't we reading these stories in the papers? You know, why is it? And I don't mean that as a criticism of you or of Harrow Law Centre, but just law centres generally, you know.
All and, that and local that journalism going, generally.
There are some good journalists. So Gary Young from The Guardian came and spent a day with us and we interviewed some of our clients, and I'm always worried about our clients being used by the media, because the media traditionally has been hostile to our clients. So we had a case recently of a man who had been refused benefit employment support allowance. He was very ill, but he was treated as fit for work, so we challenged the case up to a higher tribunal, succeeded there, it was referred back to a lower tribunal, but he lost at the lower tribunal again with the same thing, they found him fit for work. And he died of cancer whilst he was being treated as fit for work. And I tweeted something about that, and it got 5,000 retweets, and we were inundated with the press wanting to find out who the family were. Now, I've spoken to the media many times about similar cases. There are thousands of people in this situation, but they're not interested, and mainly, but they wanted this family. This family were grieving, and when they find out about the family, it's not presented in a sensitive way. If you think about the culture we've got in the media of Benefit Street and all the other horrible things that are on the TV, people get a very distorted view about what's going on. So there's a bit of a combination of, I think we're very cautious about our clients being used by the media. The media don't want to report on things generally. They have a view about benefit claimants or asylum seekers. You know, I've read in the press frequently that if you're an asylum seeker, you get provided by the state with mobile phones and a 4x4. Well, I don't know which regulation allows
and a half a million pound house with five bedrooms, yes.
Don't forget the flat screen TVs.
Yes.
So if somebody, one journalist would like to point that regulation out to me, I'd be very happy to use it, but... I can't see it. So the reality is very, you know, as I said to journalists sometimes when they contact us from some of the media, is that it's part of the problem. You know, they are part of the problem. They change people into kind of the deserving and undeserving. Yes. And people's lives are not like that. People go through difficult times and they may not be perceived as deserving. You know, we also have a young person solicitor, so dedicated. It was one of the first posts we set up, because young people don't know they have rights at all. They're usually told they have no rights, you know. So we deal frequently with kids who may be excluded from school And once you scratch the surface and find out what's going on, often they're carers for the family situation at home. They've moved. We had one child of 8 who's been moved 8 times in her life. What this does to the kids, it's just, it's shocking, really. So then what we have are the children are perceived as the problem because they're naughty at school, but what's happening to them, So again, we tackle, and we kind of provide, it sounds corny, a holistic approach. So we look at, and there's one family who came to us, that everybody in the Law Centre has had a role in helping that family, and they had multiple problems, children excluded from school, rats at home, terrible accommodation. Little child of about 3 came in to show me her lunchbox one day and said, look what the rats did to my lunchbox, it was all eaten. Mother with severe mental health problems who wasn't engaging with mental health services, and quite abusive if she came to us. No other solicitor would deal with the family, really. Mm. Benefits problem, they'd been hit by the benefit cap. We worked with that family for about 3 years, I think. Really, really, so we got them rehoused eventually after a long time, sorted out their benefits, even helped one of them to get a job so they avoided the benefit cap. Sorted out the child at school had been excluded twice, but they weren't looking at the underlying problems at home because his behaviour really followed mental health kind of, outbursts of the mum at home. But we dealt with that. Anyway, what was really lovely is the father came in to see us a few months ago, and he was transformed. He looked completely different. He looked about 10 years younger, but he also said that the son who had been excluded, when I was chatting with him, I'd represented him at school, and he was talking, he was really angry, saying that nobody ever listens to me and they just treat me as though I'm wrong anyway and they get away with it, other children. So I offered him work experience at the Law Centre. So he came, and then we were interviewing for a solicitor. So I asked him to sit on the panel choosing a solicitor. And nobody had ever given him that responsibility, even at school. And he was, he was still shrugging his shoulders a lot, and, whatever. Mm. But it helped, I think. Anyway, his dad, when he came in, said that this young lad was just going off to university.
Wow.
So he was on the point of joining the gangs in Wealdstone who were drug dealing, because we were there at the time, to be used as a runner. So his life, he could have been somebody who's viewed as, troublesome, worthless, whatever, and being, in prison or whatever, or he could take a different path. And you could see the family as scroungers, as this or that. Mm. What do you want to do? Do you want to just demonise them, or do you want to allow them to become a functioning, family in all sorts of ways? And that's what I see that we do. So, and I could give you hundreds of cases like that. They're all like that, and they all make you feel really kind of proud of what we do.
John Bouts, All the Rage, All the on Tracks FM. Tracks FM. Tracks FM.
Yeah. It's such a long way. Yeah. In such a lost way,
Lost boy.
It's such a love, what? Blouting my bag and ass on scraping, I'm dropping the wax. I'm way weaker, ragging straight, I'm making like dumb, not read that right, I'm straight. Where you have been born, the very simple, I mean, you're supposed to live for step. I think I'm repeating that track, man, I'm supposed to get your check.
Okay, so as well as working here, you're also a local councillor. So tell me a bit more about how you came to do that. You know, what made you want to be a councillor?
I suppose I've always been quite involved in the local community and what's going on. And because of my job, I quite often used to get people coming to me asking for help. I was also a school governor for quite a long time, and just this whole range of things, of feeling that the decisions by a local council can have quite a big impact on day-to-day living of people locally. And I felt that I did have some of the skills that might be quite useful, but you know, the real answer, I was asked, and I resisted for a while, but then eventually was persuaded to do it. And I do feel that it's a really important role, because in some ways it's similar to the Law Centre, because you get residents. I try to be a very accessible councillor, so we'll go and knock on doors throughout the time, not just before elections basically, and have been able to help lots of people, lots of residents, with things, you know, ranging from being evicted or having bailiffs at the door to the kind of more routine things like your bins haven't been collected. And people really appreciate that. And what is becoming evident is, again, because of the cuts with services, is that the councillor, local councillors, are having a more important role of getting things done, and again taking on a role a bit like an advice worker or a kind of intermediary to get things done. But also just building a sense of community, so putting people in touch. So we've had things like groups of residents who've wanted to get parking controls, and just kind of raising petitions, getting people involved with things together, have met other residents through it. So I think it probably follows on from what I do in my day job, that it's a way of kind of assisting people, having a role in kind of local democracy, and to try to shape the direction of services. I've been a trade union member and a shop steward for most of my working life. Started in Nalgo, remember Nalgo? Mm-hmm. Was on my first strike with university staff way back when, and nothing's changed much now, they're still the same. I've been in T&G union for quite a long time, until the place I worked de-recognised it and I was forced into MSF union, and then back into Unite, and I'm a Unite member now. But I've been a shop steward and a kind of secretary, head of the union in the workplace. And what I see is that you don't achieve anything often on your own. It's by the collective, and the unions are a way of doing that and support. And in a similar way, I see the Law Centre as being something similar, because you work together to achieve something more for individuals and change things for the better. So the Law Centre doesn't only just deal with individual cases. We often kind of make representations around policies whether it's or laws locally or with central government to try to effect change. Mm. And we work with all the other law centres around the country to do that. So we'll put in evidence to committees, you know, parliamentary committees, and use the data of our cases to show the impact of what's happening.
Is that on an ad hoc basis, or are you part of certain panels? And
yeah, it and depends. Groups? A bit of both, really. Mm. So I've worked quite a lot with, there is a legal aid review going on, it's a cross-party one. So I've been involved in that for the Law Centre network, really. There's two of us from Law Centres there. And in other situations, a committee may call for evidence and will respond to that. In my job as a councillor, going back to that, I've been involved in scrutiny committees around kind of welfare reform, as it's called, to look at what's going on locally.
In your view, can I just ask you, don't know whether it will be a final question, but in your view, sort of talking about influencing government and, you know, how that works, what's your view on petitions?
It's a good question. So petitions, there's different types of petitions. So locally, if you're trying to influence a local council, a petition's quite a good thing. And if you get a whole street saying, we want this in our street, and you've got a petition from all the residents, that's quite a helpful thing to do on a local level. I would say that's very good. And it's a way of people getting to know each other, seeing that they can force some change. I am quite concerned about the use of the kind of click democracy, or whatever you want to call it, because I don't think it necessarily affects any change. I think, yes, you might get a debate and then what happens after it. One of my kind of worries is that we've moved away from another kind of way in which people can affect, or they see they can affect change. So with the rise of kind of the internet and everything, it's much easier just to do that, to kind of think, well, I'll sign this petition and that's that. Whereas kind of, you know, certainly when I started work, most people in their workplace would have a union. You know, whether they wanted to join it was another thing, but it would be a way that they would get some political education and they could feed through the union to change things. That's less so now. When you think about all the people on 0 hours contracts, they're not in trade unions, all the anti-union legislation and everything, there are less people getting that kind of political education, but also a vehicle for trying to change things. So they may feel that this is the way that you do it, but I don't think it is. My personal view is it is always better that you write a letter to your MP, that you vote in any election that you can, and you make sure that you read what people are saying and that you hold them to account. So if your MP or your councillor does something that you don't like, then you write to them, you know, not an abusive letter, but you write and explain why. If a councillor or an MP starts to get lots of letters, they will take notice of that. Mm. You know, they will, and that's going to have more of an impact than having a debate in Parliament where everybody can feel it's somebody else's responsibility. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, you know, do it, but it shouldn't be the only way. And what you need is for citizens, everybody, to be more active in everything. And I think that is happening. Mm. But it needs more. However, you know, I've got young sons, teenager and in their early 20s, and I know from them and their friends, it's quite hard to participate in things. So even if you're talking about going to political meetings, if you don't know if you're going to be working because you're on a 0 hours contract, it's very hard to commit yourself to anything. So what do we do about that? And it does go back to all these things about, we need fundamental change. So you need rights at work so that you do work core hours, you know when you're going to be working, you're not on 0 hours contracts. You need to have a rent that you can afford, so you're not at the whim of having to work endlessly to pay your rent and nothing else. You need secure tenancies, not tenancies that last 6 months or 12 months. You need affordable rents, which are affordable, not a strange definition of affordable that's, you know, 80% of the market rent or value. And it's only then, once you've got the security of having somewhere to live, you know, access to secure employment and a benefit system that picks up the pieces when you need it, when you're sick, when you're unemployed, that people can fully participate. Mm. And I think that, to some extent, is why we've got this kind of culture of just sign a petition.
I would say in defence of petitioning, I also think people just have, and everything you've just pointed out, unstable working hours, long working hours, hard work. Sometimes just a click is... I mean, I used to regularly write letters for Amnesty International. Now, I pretty much just click the ones they send me most of the time because I'm too busy. I'm tired and I have a lot of things to do. Yeah. And I have genius radio shows to work on. So, you know, it's... I think there's an element of... But I do think it's a good starter. I mean, speaking to someone who's done this kind of thing for a long time, quite often I've begun to learn about issues. Some issues which have also ended up on, and in future will end up on this very radio show, from someone sending a petition round and me going, oh, I didn't know a lot about that. So I think if you use it as a starting pad, equally a lot of demonstrations I've been on, you know, maybe some of them didn't always achieve the same things, but I quite often met a lot of people there that I'm still friends with now. We've planned things, we've done things which have been successful. I got some inspiration from it to go and do something else, and just generally it also makes you feel like, oh, I'm not actually just a lone voice in the wind screaming about this injustice. Thank you very much, Pamela Fitzpatrick of the Harrow Law Centre, for speaking to us, councillor in Harrow West, Harrow East.
In Harrow West, I'm a councillor, Headstone South.
There you go. And listeners, go on the website, go on your local law centre website, go down and hang out with them and check out what they're doing, raise money for them.
Volunteer.
If you've got, if you're snazzy with the legal knowledge, do some volunteer work, help people out and make a difference. Thank you. That was All the Rage.
Are you gonna try to make this work? Or spend your-
the Rage with John Bowd.